Welcome to City Church's podcast, Digging Deeper. I'm Pastor Kyle, and I'm here with Lisa and our friend Pastor Sam, who I'll introduce a little bit more in just a minute. And our podcast here is dedicated to topics, truths, and testimonies that we really don't have time to get into normally on Sundays and things like that. And so we try to take this time and use this space to really share with y'all some of those things. And so today is really a part two follow-up, if you will. We had recently shared Lisa's alopecia journey in our last podcast.
And miracle alert, all my hair has grown back. No, just kidding. Not really.
It looks really nice, though. It looks really nice.
Still waiting on that, but
we're praying for it. So today we're gonna welcome a guest and friend of ours by the name of Pastor Sam PQ. Sam is a pastor, a rapper. I once watched one of your videos. You did like 500 words in a minute or something. I don't even remember. Yeah. You counted. He's a former contestant on The Voice, right? Season 5.
Yes.
Didn't watch it, but heard you did good. Yeah. Author of a recent book called Beyond the Cover, mm-hmm. Sam PQ. And so we'll put a link to that in there somewhere. Yeah. You can share that. Thank you. Also an alopecia advocate. And that's right. One of the reasons we have you here today. So we'll get to welcome. Glad you're here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Look forward to having you.
Yeah.
So Lisa, tell us the story of just the day that you met Sam, and what do you remember about him that drew you to introduce yourself? Because you're an introvert. You don't normally introduce yourself to people.
I am an introvert. Yeah, so I took my daughter to Disneyland California Adventure. It was her third birthday that day. And I think our son was sick, so you were home with him. So it was just the two of us. And it was in the afternoon, and we went on the Monsters, Inc. ride. And we had waited this whole line. You know, we were behind this couple, and we were almost to the front, and I look at his arm, and it said alopecia, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder if he has it, because otherwise, why would he have it tattooed on his arm? Otherwise, someone close to him has it.
Right.
And he had a hat, he had sunglasses, a mask, and so I said, either I can just go on this ride, we go on our way, or I should say something. Yeah. And I just kind of went around and I said, excuse me, because it was COVID, right? So you're supposed to keep your distance. And I said, oh, excuse me. I said, I saw that your arm said alopecia.
Right.
And you said, yeah, it does. And I have alopecia.
Right.
And we got on the ride. Mm-hmm. And the whole ride, I was like, God, is this a conversation you want us to have? I said, if it is, put it on their heart, put it on my heart. Mm-hmm. And so just the whole ride, I had no idea what was going to happen, because that was it, really. Yeah. I just said, oh, I saw your tattoo. And as we were walking out, you and your wife were in front of us, and my daughter and I were walking out, and you turned around and started talking to me, and I just knew that you were a Christian. Mm-hmm. I could just sense it. I could feel it.
Right.
And
sometimes you just know.
You just know. And I just thought, okay, this is amazing. Because I had, from the first start of the first spot, mm-hmm. was like about a year and a half that I met you. And I had never met anyone in person that had alopecia. And as we spoke and we connected, I just remember feeling like, just thank you, God, for this connection. And we were talking, and I do remember I asked you, like, hey, can I ask you a couple questions? Like, I've just never really met anyone with alopecia.
Right.
And you answer them, and your wife was so sweet. And then we decided to take a picture together. And I said, could we take a picture together? Which I remember my daughter wanted to be in, and your wife took.
She's so cute.
Yeah, she did not want to not be in that picture. And then I said, you know, I've never done this in public, but I'm going to take my hat off.
Yeah.
And can we take a picture? And when you're like, yeah, no problem. And I remember you took your hat off, your mask off, your glasses off. And my daughter was playing in my lap, and she looked up at you and said, wow, he looks like you. And it was this moment of like, we looked exactly the same, right, having both have alopecia universalis.
Yeah.
And she just was like, he looks like you. And it was that moment of like, wow, like even for my daughter to just not really be paying attention, but then to say, there's someone else that looks like my mom.
Right. Yeah. That was a powerful moment.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, what do you remember about that meeting? Yeah,
I would say really everything you're saying, you know, I remember when we were in line and, you know, that was a good time to, you know, just for us to like get away, spend some time together. But what's crazy is like the Lord had another plan. You know, and it was just so awesome because, you know, as we allow ourselves to really be interrupted, like that's when the best of things can begin to happen, you know? And so I remember I heard from behind me, I was like, I hear, excuse me, you know, I see your tattoo has alopecia. And like, you know, I was like, I turned around and immediately, you know, for me at least, you know, I've been around a lot of people who have had it before, you know, even like before when I was, you know, we'll talk about the show. You know, I had been to like different conventions, things like that. So I've noticed like people who have had it. So I immediately in my heart, I knew, okay, I think she has it, you know? And so from there, I look down and I see your daughter. Mm-hmm. She's all happy. She's like excited, like be at Disneyland, and she has no idea what's happening. Like, but what was cool is, you know, like, you know, what was really cool was just the moment that really God put together there, mm-hmm. and how he almost stitched it together piece by piece, you know, from the tattoo to, you know, to like the line, to the same ride, to the same time.
Same time. You know, we were that, right, like, behind you.
Yeah, it was so cool.
And I didn't notice it the whole line.
Right, yeah.
Until right before
until
we were to get on.
That moment right before you get on. And then afterwards, it was cool that you guys were right behind us because then we got to connect again. And I wanted to connect with you guys more, you know, and throughout the whole ride, you guys were on my mind. I was like, you know, I hope I get to see them afterwards because I really believe that, you know, what happened to me is an opportunity to have a testimony for someone else. So, you know, it was great after the ride getting to connect with you and your daughter and, you know, being able to take that picture. And really, it was as a staple in the moment, you know, of what God was doing and being right there in the right place at the right time.
Right.
You know, and so I really believe, you know, me and Lex and you and your daughter, you know, we really lived out that scripture where it talks about, you know, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do, you know, and I believe for us that moment was for us to reflect, you know, and look back on really what God is doing right now, you know, and where he's going to take us forward. That was a hopeful moment, you know, so it was honestly like looking back in these past couple of years, it was something that really stood out to me because, you know, if there's ever an opportunity where I could be used by God to give some kind of hope, I'm all for that, you know?
Yeah, and you definitely gave me hope just where I was in that moment. Mm. And like I said, it was the first time my daughter and I had ever seen anyone that looked like me.
Yeah.
And that was just really powerful. And I think that's part of sharing our story is to know you are not the only person. You are not alone. There are other people dealing with this. And I also think it just shows so much about God and how he cares about us and what we're going through and gave us that moment to connect and to be able to just give encouragement.
Right.
And I think now today we can give others encouragement. Mm-hmm. And also, like, we've met up since then, went out to eat and just connected on Instagram
just life and all that
and
stuff.
Life and everything.
Yeah,
and I just,
cool.
It was just, I mean, that could have gone either way.
Yeah.
But it was just your openness to share your story and my openness to, like, hey, let's talk to this guy.
Step out.
Step out.
Good.
And I just, it was just really powerful.
Yeah. And I love your guys' family. Mm. Like, your guys' family is so awesome. Yeah. It's a great representation of Jesus, you know? And I think one of the biggest thing about your family is just the love of God is just so evident there. And I really love what you mentioned, even, I'll never forget it. You said that your daughter, she'll pray for all the people with alopecia.
She does, and she did at that point.
So mature of her, you know? And even we were just talking about just her understanding is just at like almost another level. And I really believe that that's just the blessing of God on your guys' family. Mm-hmm. You know, that you guys seeing this from his perspective has just been, it's not only been a blessing for you both to be able to experience his thoughts, his perceptions about where you guys are at, but also it's a blessing for your kids because you guys are walking at another level of understanding that isn't contingent on your situation, but is moving forward in what Christ has for you.
Awesome.
So I love
it. Yeah, and I think it opens our children's eyes to people who have different situations beyond them.
Yeah, super
and
good.
Every night, even to this day, they pray every night that God would give mommy's hair back and that other people with alopecia would be healed.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. And prayers of healing are amazing, you know, and yeah, I love it. That's good.
Awesome. Well, Sam, tell us about your journey with alopecia kind of throughout your life, from the beginning until today. What's that been like for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, so I was diagnosed with alopecia ever since I was 2 years old. So I haven't had hair like really growing up, most of what I can remember. I did have hair when I was obviously from, you know, being born until two. Hair was dark brown, like my mom and my dad's, and, you know, just grew up, you know, normal kid. But, you know, from two on, you know, I was really bullied, didn't really fit in school. You know, every different classroom, I'd have to tell the teacher, hey, I have alopecia. Could you tell the students for me? Because I don't want to have to go through the same story over and over and over again. And so that was always a big challenge for me, was having to look back on the questions, look back on the place where I didn't have clarity, look back on the place where I didn't know why something had happened to me, and then have to share that, oh, I don't know why, but this is what happened with somebody else. I think that, and I'll just take a break from that for a moment, but I think that the beautiful thing about being a Christian, about following God, is that you get to know the why. God wants you to know the why things happen. There are some things that he doesn't reveal until later, but I truly believe that, you know, God wants to give you revelation, speak to you, give you the understanding of where you're at and how he can use you, you know? And so he just began to do that a little later on. But as I went through life and began to be bullied, and, you know, even with my own family, you know, we went through a few family issues, and, you know, all of that, it played a part in this idea that I am rejected. And so I would have a lot of times where I was always looking for acceptance. And so what I really quickly began to develop at like 13, 12 was my giftings. So I found out that I was really gifted in music and all that. So what I tried to do was use that to gain popularity, use that to fit in. And what happened was, is I ended up in a very dark place where if I was rejected, I felt I wasn't good enough. And so what happened was I continued to strive to be good enough. And all the way up till, you know, I was 16, you know, when I strived to be good enough to really be on a show like that, you know, at the time, my perception of God was, you know, this level that I had to get to, you know. And if I wasn't at that level with seeing myself as good enough, or, you know, if my gifts weren't at this level, then I don't know if I'm going to be used by God in the way I want to be. But it wasn't until I was on the show and had gone through, you know, different levels of like auditions and things like that, that I really began to experience like momentum for the first time in my life, and seeing that like I'm moving in a direction, I'm doing good, I'm accepted, I'm doing great. My gifts were making room for me. But at the end of the day, my character was still at like a default. And I still felt rejected by people. I didn't know if I was going to make it to the next round. But once I made it to TV, it was already at a place where it was in front of 18 million people. And once I got on stage, started singing, you know, that was a big moment for me, because I felt like I made it, or I'm about to make it. But behind the scenes, I didn't understand like the calling. And the calling isn't just a one day thing. Or a one moment thing. Your calling, it has to do with your giftings, but your calling comes from a place of knowing who you are in Christ.
That's right.
You know, and so it's a continuous thing to the day you die. You don't stop your calling. So I didn't understand that that moment wasn't it for me. And what happened was that moment, I ended up getting actually rejected, for better words, by all four of the judges that I looked up to at the time musically. And so I was in front of 18 million and rejected on the biggest scale I've ever been rejected on. At times I had felt rejected by my family, by myself, by those in school, by my teachers, by even people in church. But at the end of the day, was once I got on that show, I was now truly felt like in front of the whole world, you're rejected. And, you know, after that moment, I hung my head in defeat. I didn't know where to go. I was so lost, and I still went to church and all of that, but I hung my head low because I felt like I wasn't worth it. I felt like I wasn't worth God's time. And I thought I knew what God's plan was for me based off my giftings, based off, you know, that one moment. Oh, I made it. I succeeded. You know, a promise I made to myself, and maybe some of us have made promises like this at one time or another, is I'm going to make it by 18. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be popular. I'm going to be this by this. But what we don't know what we're doing is we're putting God in a box. And what happens is that can lead to a lot of frustration. That can lead to a lot of blame, a lot of doubt, and you can knock yourself out. But it wasn't until my parents decided to divorce at 18 when I felt even just now fully rejected in my family, mm-hmm. that I'd completely found a church. After 18, I ran off and kind of did my own thing, you know, went to Hollywood, tried to like chase after girls, money, all of those things, completely like no identity in Christ. But when I came back to God after the divorce, I decided to get plugged into a church, get under mentorship, you know, start serving. That was a big thing for me. Mm-hmm. And little by little, God began to reveal his plan to me. Mm-hmm. Little by little, God began to show me where my giftedness was supposed to be, mm-hmm. how it was supposed to be serving him, you know? And it doesn't mean that God can't use our gifts to reach other people who aren't believers and use our gifts in the world.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is that our gifts and our character are developed within the church.
That's right.
You know, and under leadership. And so as I began to do that, God began to develop my character as I began to fail. Mm. The only factor I left out was the failure when I was in the world. But once I became with Christ and I began to fail and mess up and things like that, my character began to be developed in God because I began to bring those failures to God. Mm. You know, alopecia for me, it wasn't necessarily a failure or something that I did to mess up, but it was something that I encountered and something that could potentially allow myself to, I could stop my own calling. I could stop where I'm headed. I could stop God using me because I'm focused on that alopecia. And so I didn't allow that to happen. And I really believe that God built my character by using that alopecia, showing me that it's just a part in everything that I'm doing, you know, and in the church now, you know, I got married, you know, I have an amazing wife, her name is Alexis, and, you know, we've been married, it'll be 3 years this December, which would be great. And what's so cool about that, even with the alopecia, is that like, she loves me the way I am. And it's just such a beautiful thing because it's like I look different. Mm-hmm. I look different to other people. And she has to deal with that now that other people see me as different. But mm-hmm. it's so cool because she's never not once said anything about, I don't like the way you look or cover up or do this or do this. Because she understands it's a part of my calling that God's going to use it to help people, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm so grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my leadership. You know, I'm under Pastor Gabe, Pastor Abriana, Pastor Marco, and, you know, they've helped me so much because in leadership, you know, you're really problem solving. And so the problems that come against you, you're learning how to strategize against those problems with teams, strategize against those issues and obstacles and overcome them, and then mm-hmm. teach others how to overcome. And to be honest, you know, we're going to go into a little bit of it today, but one of the biggest things that helped me is helping others overcome. Mm. That keeps me accountable to what God is doing in my life. And it shows others that, whoa, okay, you can overcome. And when I see them overcome, it encourages me. Mm. And it shows me that my faith is real.
That's good.
You know, and that it's like, it's not going to end, you know? So, yeah, that's a little bit of my story. I know I kind of got into a lot of different details there.
That's awesome.
It's really amazing. I mean, to hear, I'm just picturing you as two being diagnosed with something that probably wasn't well known at that time.
Yeah,
I mean,
it wasn't.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it wasn't very known.
I mean, you're probably mid-50s or late 60s, right? So it...
You're funny, bro. Took me a second to get it.
Most of my jokes are taking people a few seconds to get it. You're cool. But you're a young guy, but even,
even then,
wouldn't have been known, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't have been known. Yeah.
So, I mean, you came to this place of accepting it for yourself, and you have to, that's what you have to do. You have to come to a place of acceptance. I mean, it's almost a process of grief that you go through in when you're first diagnosed. But tell me a little bit more about, like, when you were two, like, how did you get diagnosed?
Right.
And then how is a two-year-old, and then you're going into school, like, how for yourself did you cope with this throughout your life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the biggest ways was, you know, I mean, I grew up in church, so I always heard, you know, that God loved me, that God was there. Like, my grandmother was one of the Sunday school teachers, so it was like my family was always involved.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that helped me. And then number two was my own family didn't see me as different, necessarily. Like, that was cool. Like, that was like a hiding place for me, that I could go to my dad, I'd go to my mom. Like, they didn't see me any different. And my mom stayed you know, affirmations, is that what you call it? Affirmations, right? Speaking good things over me, speaking, you're different, you're God's masterpiece, you're loved, you're accepted. You know, she would stay doing those things. Mm-hmm. And so as she would say those things, I began to believe it. Yeah, I am. She would train me. Mm-hmm. And That's so it was great. A lot in the training that really helped me now. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're seeing a lot of that now. So, but when I was two, yeah, I mean, my parents took me to the doctors and, you know, they had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. They're like, what is this? Like, and then as they looked more into it, they seen it was incurable, that some cases hair came back, that sometimes it would happen because of stress. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just would happen. Mm-hmm. And then one of the biggest things too was, and it's alopecia universalis, so same as you.
Same as me.
One of the biggest things as well was, you know, even the treatments. You know, mm-hmm. So when I was like around a little bit older, like 6 or 7, my parents did take me to go and do some steroid treatments. And they asked me, you want to do that? I'm like, yeah, I didn't really know what that was. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, hey, hair back. I mean, yeah, let's try, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went and did that. And I remember it didn't really make too much of a difference.
Yeah.
But there were seasons where my eyebrows would come back, my eyelashes, they would go away. It was kind of funny because it would happen in like the seasonal time. So like in winter, they would come out. And it was like, keep me warm, I guess. And then in summertime, they would go away. So,
yeah.
But I would get some grown back here. And then I would just shave it. Like, I'd be like, okay, like, you know, I'd rather have like something that looks like dirt, you know, like taken off versus having like, you know, half a head of hair, you know. That's a little bit more noticeable, I feel like.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of how I really dealt with it, you know.
So it sounds like your parents and your mom that you talked about was just really speaking life into you.
Yeah, big
and
time.
Looking at you how God sees you,
mm-hmm.
and helping you understand that instead of seeing yourself as
right.
different.
Yes.
And I love that part about, you know, with my family, I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
And I just pray that for every kid or adult who has alopecia, that mm-hmm. they have either their family or the community
yes.
where they can wear nothing, or they can wear a wig or mm-hmm. a hat, just and they can just feel like,
right.
like I can just be myself
yeah.
in this space and I'm accepted. And
exactly.
I think that's so important to what you said is mm-hmm. we just want to be accepted. And it can take a while to understand that from God. I mean, we're mm-hmm. all accepted from God, but it can take a process to truly understand acceptance
right.
of who we are in Christ.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, so my family's commitment to Christ, it helped me with my commitment later on.
Yeah.
You know, I think as kids, I mean, there's not really much to weigh the cost of when you have to make a commitment to God. You know, I gave my life to God at 7, mm-hmm. but it wasn't until I was like 20-something that I really recommitted like my life to God, like knowing my life is valuable and that I could choose to do whatever I want with it. That was really the weight of the commitment of choosing God.
That's good.
And then after that, the acceptance of knowing I'm in Christ, that came. But until then, my parents and their understanding of the acceptance of Christ and their understanding of the weight of their life for the commitment, not only of themselves, but they're there for their family, that was my anchor, you know, was their faith.
That's so awesome. You know, one of the things that I'm super proud of you for, Lisa, is this last Sunday, well, as we taped this, we just endured Hurricane Hillary, you know, the rainstorm of 2023, yeah, we will
storm.
Rebuild. I don't want to make light of it. Some people I know have some flooding
yeah.
and stuff, but,
right.
You know, for us here, it's just some rain it was a genuine question in the house of like, should I wear my wig? Blah, blah, blah. Cause we were going to church and getting ready. And I said, babe, just wear your hat. And I could feel the tension in mm-hmm. her a little bit, but mm-hmm. she went with it. She rocked it. Mm-hmm. She looked beautiful.
That's good.
And so I just see how your confidence has grown in that acceptance, like you were talking about. Of,
yeah.
And you were talking about feeling safe, and you were talking about feeling safe in the space, and I could tell that you felt safe. And so I was just want to brag on you. Good job there. You did an awesome, awesome job.
Bold.
And, and I know that one of the things that you mentioned that is, you know, kind of sounds like your mom laid the foundation of you called it speaking affirmations to you, mm-hmm. but really what she was saying was who you are in Christ.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And so I know you have a lot to say about your identity in Christ.
Right.
I'd love to hear you just share how that's helped you
yeah.
cope with this journey.
No, yeah,
with
definitely.
Alopecia.
I would say the biggest thing, like I mentioned, once I made my commitment to God, now the blessings of God come. Right? When you choose Jesus, what happens is you enter into a covenant with him. When you choose salvation, it's an everyday thing. you live out this covenant, and in the covenant, in the choice, in the agreement that you have with Christ, you have everything he has. Before I go into it, imagine Elon Musk is in the room now, right? And he's like, hey, I got a debit card with your name on it. You can have it. All you have to do is shake my hand. I'm like, okay, cool, let's do it. And so he shakes my hand and he gives me the debit card with my name on it. I have access to everything Elon Musk has access to, right? It's the same thing with Jesus, is that there are riches in mercy, riches in joy, riches in peace, riches in everything that he has to offer. Through my union with him, I have access to it already. And that's the authority, is the permission that he gives us to have access to him. You know, and so as I go into this, I just want to kind of set everything up so that you guys understand that through your identity in Christ, your identity is you being chosen in Christ to live the life that he's called you to live, which is a life of abundance. You know, and a lot of times if we're not focused on our identity in Christ, we can come to a place where we're focused on lack, we're focused on fear, on poor decision making, we're focused on our failure, and that can lead to thoughts of depression, thoughts of discouragement, thoughts of going backwards and not forwards, thoughts of even rethinking your commitment to Jesus. But what God has for us is he's already made it easy for us by letting us know in his word that we have great value and we can have hope in Christ. Mm-hmm. So there's a scripture in Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." And what really stood out here on my way here, I was listening to Ephesians, because like that for me is a great book focused on the identity of the people of God. Yeah. And so I love how it says, "For we are God's masterpiece," because one of the biggest things that I struggled with personally was all of the things that were wrong in my life with alopecia, you know? And I think one of the biggest things was the stares, the comments, the questions, like, come on people, like look it up. There's Google, you know, all of that, it adds up. And it's like, okay, you're getting me to stare, comment, and question about myself now, you know? And unless there's a response, you're already responding by receiving it. You know, and I think a lot of times if we're not responding with our identity every day, and how we do that is declarations of our identity over ourselves, it can be really easy to receive what people are questioning.
That's right.
You know, and so we want to move forward in anything. It could be alopecia. It could be any obstacle within yourselves or in front of us. We want to move forward knowing and having clarity that there's hope on the other end of it. And that hope is in Jesus. And we can find our acceptance in him. And so when he says God's masterpiece, I love that because it's a painting. It's meant to be beautiful. Mm. You know, it's meant to be put together. Mm-hmm. And a thing about masterpiece is even the timing. If you think about a lot of the paintings like Mona Lisa, think about a lot of these different paintings, they were done in a specific time, but they were also done with a specific art or a specific stroke. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we have to understand, like, we're special. We're special possession. Mm-hmm. You know, we're alive for this time now. We're alive to make a difference now. We're alive so that people can look at us as a masterpiece, mm-hmm. and they can see the actual painter in us. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of Tom Ford. You look at a Ford car, it's going to represent Tom Ford and how he thinks and how he acts. Same with us. We're created by God. So we're going to represent the creator when people look at our lives. And so I love that scripture. And
when you're talking about a painting, I think of, you know, the painting of the Last Supper. You know, all the disciples are there and all their foibles and flaws, like there they are with Jesus and knowing who they would be and what they would become. But there's a masterpiece in that picture. Right. And it's the same thing with us, whether it's external, internal, you know, we're his masterpiece. I love that you point that out, because we all have things that, about us that, you know, maybe we wish were different, or we'd like to see better, or areas where we've messed up, where we have received the negative comments that other people have said. So I love that. And yet we get to sit at his table.
Yeah.
So I was just maybe think of that. That's really good.
Yeah, definitely. And I love how you said like things that were better, and you know, we all know we can grow, you know, and that we may be a masterpiece now, but that masterpiece grows in value you know, over time. And a lot of times now these paintings are worth millions of dollars, yeah. you know, because no one would have ever thought that maybe one day they'd be worth millions, at least maybe even the painter sometimes. But because it was done in the specific timing and because it was done the way it was done, you know, what happens is now it's preserved. And I think a lot of us, you know, we can just say, okay, well, yes, this is how I'm going to be, you know, even kind of looking into like the internal, you know, this is how I'm going to be. I'm always going to deal with this. I'm always going to deal with stress or fear. It could be anxiety. It could be anger. It could be anything. But whenever we look at what did Christ really do? Did he really put an end to it all? What we can really see is that, yes, we're a masterpiece on the outside, but we're also a masterpiece on the inside. And what Christ has done is that he's made it so that when people look at us on the outside, they can see right through and see the character of him who has saved us, him who has put an end to everything that has come against us, and him who has really given us a hope and a future and a value in our life right now. You know, I like to share another thing. You know, God is working because he loves us. Yeah. You know, a lot of times, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been, like someone holds the door open for you, you know, and you know, you walk through and you're like, they're just holding open the door to be polite. You know, or they just doing that because they do that with everybody. You know, we can come up with like a million different things as to why somebody does something nice for us. But what's really cool about God is like, no matter how many different things we come up for as to why we think he's working in our lives or to where he might be in our lives and try and figure out the whole crossword puzzle, like mystery and on our own, you know, God is working because he loves us. He truly loves us. And I think it's the moment we fall in love with that truth of God loves us, that now we can now begin to love ourselves, you know, and now everything we do from that point, it looks beautiful. Now everything that we say, everything we do, the way we do things, the way we say things, now those things can look beautiful and loving as well, because we truly understand our identity in that we're loved and that God's working on our behalf. I want to share a quick scripture in Ephesians 3:20-21. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. So God's going to get the glory, you know, and that's what's important too, is that we understand, like, regardless of, at least for me, like, to, you know, anything that I face, and I think we can all say the same thing, mm-hmm. anything that we face, God's going to get the glory in that based off of how we handle that. And so I think a lot of things are thrown our way, whether it be you got a parking ticket and you didn't know that they were street sweeping, mm-hmm. or whether it be, you know, you're going through a family crisis, right? Or whether it be alopecia, you know, whatever has come your way, based on how you handle that, if you handle it in love and like Christ handled everything for you on the cross, there's never going to be an opportunity where someone won't see the glory of God or be able to get hope from that situation and how you handled it, because you handled it with love. And people seeing Christ in that suffering or that hard time. Last thing is, you know, we have to trust that he knows what he's doing and that he's good. You know, we have to know that God knows our situation now. Mm-hmm. Like he knew, like, that I was going to get alopecia. He knew that.
Yeah.
You know, and
it wasn't surprised to
it
him.
Was a surprise, right? And that's comforting for me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, he already knew. He placed the right family around me. He placed the right mm-hmm. people in my life. He came up with this podcast. Like, he's doing this now because he's good. Yeah. And when I think of good, I think of benevolent or good intentions. I think of good in the future, you know? But also what's cool is, like, if there's good in your future, there's good in your past, you know? And God is there.
And in your present.
And in your present. He's there, you know? And that's something that I just think of. And when I look at this scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So we have to understand that God is good based on how we see the disaster. Mm-hmm. So if you look at maybe the disaster, like maybe, like, you know, Pastor was saying, maybe, you know, Hurricane Hillary was a disaster for you. Maybe it wasn't. But based on how you see that disaster is how you believe about God. So if you look at that disaster of, oh, this disaster destroyed me, I'm not worth it, I knew I would be destroyed, do you believe God's going to allow you to be destroyed? If you did, do you believe he's good? So you have to know God is good so that you can look at the disaster in the right way. And so as you begin to understand you're valued, that you're a masterpiece, as you begin to understand that God is always working on your behalf, And then as you understand too, that he's good and that he knows the plans that he has for you, mm-hmm. you're going to have hope. You'll have confidence. Mm. And you'll have confidence in the storm, mm-hmm. in the place of disaster, when it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You'll have that. And for me, again, I mentioned like it didn't come until after I made my decision to follow Christ. But if you're truly following Christ, you're following after someone who has hope for you. Yeah. So,
you know, it's sometimes as a pastor, like I feel like, oh, when you talk about your identity in Christ, it's like for beginning believers, right? You know, yeah. it's like you need to know this and the basics and that. But really, like it just, it's your whole life. You're coming back to those basics of who you are versus what around you is saying or the things that are happening that aren't good. I mean, as a pastor, right. you know, you talked about, you know, wanting to be someone by a certain time and how that crushed you. Well, that can happen yeah. to ministry leaders in the same so way. True. You look around at what other people are doing. You feel either, you know, self-righteously better than someone else, which is totally not good, mm-hmm. or looking at someone else feeling worse, which is also not of God. And so just accepting that the goodness of God in where we are in this season today mm-hmm. in our life. Mm-hmm. So there's so many good things about there that I feel like wherever you're at in life, to keep coming back to that identity yes. in Christ. And just, I know some things that we're going through in our own life, you know, raising our kids, you know, there's always something, the latest crisis of the day. And sometimes for us, I think it can feel like, oh gosh, it's so heavy. And are we just going through the rat race? Yeah. And so that was a good reminder for me that, mm-hmm. there's good in what God's doing now. Right. And we can't get these days back and we can't get these responses back.
Right.
Whatever it is to the people that are around us, probably those closest to us. Mm-hmm. Thank God for your mom that didn't look to the stress of what was happening in her life Definitely. At that point and spoke into you mm-hmm. and made sure that you knew who you were.
Yeah.
And so that just hits home with me of being a man who responds like Jesus, knowing mm-hmm. who I am so I can be who my kids
yeah.
need me to be.
Yeah. And the yeah. biggest thing too is like, you know, when you're going through something, very few people have a say in what you're going through. yeah. Because you open up to less people probably, you know, and that's with anybody. Like we have those that we trust, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. and for me, you know, I trust Pastor Gabriel, you know, I trust my family, I trust my wife, right? Like, yep. so those are the people that whatever they're going to say is ultimately going to really play a part in your perception of your situation.
That's right.
So, you know, when it comes to like you being the husband, the biggest thing you could ever do to encourage your family, you already know, is going to be what you say. You know, and a lot of times it's even how we say what we're saying. I know there's been times when me and Lex have been in a disagreement and we're driving.
You guys disagree? Oh, we've yeah. never had all one before.
Time. We've never done that. 15 years never happened.
We disagree in traffic.
No, we've had plenty. We've had plenty. We're in the camp too.
There's times when me and Lex are disagreeing and, you know, we get into this place where, you know, some things that we say can come off the wrong way. And then you can think and assume that we're saying something we're really not.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not what you say, but how you say it. Yeah. You know? And so I think one of the biggest things that we can do as believers is whenever our kids maybe experience alopecia or maybe they experience fear or anxiety or maybe they're bullied at school, what we can do is we can choose to bully the enemy and we can come at our kids with love. We can come at them with the right words and speak God's words over them. You know, great thing about God's word is it is literally Jesus. So you're exposing them to Jesus in that moment. And so, you know, you never want to be in a place where if you're a leader that you have the people that you're leading questioning you. And how to always be in the right place is to always be speaking God's word, speaking God's love, because they can see Jesus there. You know, and so what you say is a really big thing that's even helped me personally. You know, at some point, I know you do CrossFit. I'm sure there's some days where you got to get in there. You have your moment with your coach, but then afterwards you got to train yourself. You're yeah. like, you're lifting.
There's these Nike socks. And I was just thinking about while you're talking it. One says shut and the other says up and someone has it and it's on your legs. And so it just like says like, shut up. Like I know you're hurting. Like just shut up. Like, you know, and I think there's a truth to that of sometimes there's hard things you're going through and it's what am I letting talk loud right yeah. now? Is it what I want to accomplish? And what is in front of me, or is it the pain? Oh, it's so hard. I need a break. You know, all that kind of stuff. And sometimes we need a break. That's okay. But but there are points where there's certain voices like, we just need to tell them to shut up. Yeah. And you know what? That I'm not going to live that way today. I don't always do that perfectly. Sometimes I listen to the wrong voice and I give in just like the person next to you. But I think that's a really good point that you make of knowing what we're listening to, knowing the being silencing the enemy with the word of God. I think that's really, really good. Was there anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I think it's just, it's listening to the voices. I mean, when you're diagnosed with alopecia, you can think, well, I'm different. I'm never going to look like anyone else. Or you can quickly look at all the things you've lost.
Right.
And when you're told like your hair is never going to grow back, which I've been told by multiple doctors.
Yeah, same.
You can really be in this space of look at everything I've lost. Mm-hmm. Look at how I'm different. Mm-hmm. And it becomes so inward. And then you can have depression. You can have discouragement. And it's just really hard to get out of that hole. Mm-hmm. But if you have a whole new mindset, it's like putting on the armor of God, which is what we have taught our children, is like you put on that helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, the belt of truth, and you say, no, this is who I am. Yeah. Yes, these are my circumstances, but that does not define who I am as a child of God.
Exactly.
And so you put on that armor of God to protect you against the devil's evil swords or words,
schemes, all that.
Schemes, everything that comes against you. And you just continue to be in this mindset of, I'm a loved child of God. He knows that this was going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. And he loves me. He's going to provide for me. And I am an amazing masterpiece of God. And so I think it's just, and sometimes that's, some days it's easier than others days, right? Uh-huh. Some days when you're down, it's just hard to get up. So I would say drink some water and take a nap and then start again, you know, drink some water, take a nap, but just get in that place of like, I am a child of God.
Right.
And yes, maybe I look different than someone else. But when I saw, I'm like, wow, we look the same, you know, like in terms of having alopecia universalis and say, you know, I'm still loved. I am a human. I am a person that is just as lovable as anyone else, you know, and I don't have to prove my worth because I know who I am in Christ.
Right. And she just brought up a really good point that we've seen eye to eye with what we've been through, you know, and that's like maybe some of us today where some of you guys see eye to eye with maybe some of our testimonies and what we've been through. And there's hope in that place. There's strength in that place. There's encouragement in that place. There's even anointing in that place where someone who's been through the same thing can begin to help someone else because God allows that. And God begins to speak through that person, and then the chains are broken. Mm-hmm. And now that person is now empowered and equipped to go and bring hope into someone else's life.
Yeah, we all need like those things, those moments, those relationships where, you know, you can just say me too, and they actually understand like what happened. Like it's one thing, like you can always tell when someone says like that kind of thing and they don't really know what you're saying. But when you know, it's like, okay, wow, that's so powerful. You've been there. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what was so cool about that Disney moment, and then just the friendship that's evolved from there.
Oh yeah.
And I want to thank you for being open to that.
Yeah.
You know,
of course.
She wasn't hitting on you, I promise. You know,
I was not.
That was never a but my wife literally does not like go up to people. Yeah, and so I knew that God was doing something, and she like, I could tell when we got in the car, like, she's like, oh my gosh, like I got to tell you about this moment.
That's cool.
So I knew God had done something.
Yeah.
And as I just think about like all that we've talked about, I think all of us have different insecurities, flaws about ourselves, things that we wish were a little bit different, that really are marred by the fall. And so for you guys, it's a little bit more visible. For some of us, it's less visible.
Right.
But we're all on this trajectory towards heaven, which means the end of our earthly life. And so I just want to read 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Mm-hmm. And when I was thinking about our stories and your stories as you were sharing, that whole our outer self is wasting away. Like, that is a reality of this life. And so, you know, you may be in your prime right now if you're watching this and you got the, you know, six pack and you're looking good. There's nothing. But the reality is all of us have something we wish were different about the outside too. But as we go through life, our bodies start to look different. And so whether it's today or in 20 years from today, all of us are going to have things that make us feel insecure about ourselves. And we're going to have to go back to what you guys are talking about right now, that really is just about finding that identity in Christ on the inside. And also some of the things that we wish were different about ourselves aren't on the outside, it's on the inside, you know?
That's right.
And so for me, I deal with anxiety. I've talked about that in the pulpit. She's always talking me out of stupid decisions. You know, I'm doing a lot better it, and I've learned to manage it with my faith and my fitness.
Fitness helps.
Now, there are some people for whom faith and fitness is not enough, and medication is something that helps them. I am a proponent of that, with the guidance of a good doctor, not, you know, just because, you know, self-medicating and all that, people can go down some weird rabbit holes. But I just share that to say, you know, on the outside, you may not know that that's something that happens to me on the inside. And everyone watching this has something on the inside that is bothering them. And so our outer selves are wasting away, but it's our inner self that needs to be being renewed day by day. And God says that our beauty and our appeal should come from within and on the inside. And I love that you've leaned into that through your whole journey. I mean, your whole life, really. But so I'm going to have Lisa read from 1 Peter chapter 3, because I really think, First Peter 1, 3 through 5. And this is really a verse that describes her so well. So 1 Peter 3, starting verse 3, right there. Go ahead and read that.
Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adoration be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. So Sarah, obeying God, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening.
Yeah, I think what I love about that is just that inner beauty that it talks about, and how adorning yourself on the inside. And really on Sunday, that's what I saw when you wore your hat, is your real beauty shining that comes from the inside. And so I love that that's something that we can hold on to all of our lives, that our beauty comes from within. Of course, Proverbs 31, woman, you know, and it talks about how an excellent wife, who can find, she's more precious than rubies and gold. And in verse 30 talks about how charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And I think whether you're a man or a woman, that's true, that what's on the outside is deceptive. I think I love your story, Sam, that you've allowed what's on the outside to be a conduit for the joy that you have from the inside. I mean, you just meet it when you're one of these people, you undeniably feel it when you're around, around
and
you.
And that's what I'm saying, that I felt that. That's what I felt that at Disneyland. Like, I mean, I saw your arm or your tattoo on your arm, but then as we were walking out and you just kind of turned around and started to talk to me, I knew that you were a Christian.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know anything else, but I just felt that. And I think, you know, for alopecia universalis, how both, you know, no hair, no eyelashes, no eyebrows, just no hair, we look different. But it's when we focus on cultivating the inside of our heart and the inside of our life, like, you cannot manufacture that. Like, when you're spending time in the Word and you're worshiping God and you're knowing who you are in Christ, people feel that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I think I sensed from you, and maybe you sensed from me as well. And it's just, that's what I think we do, whether we have hair or not, you know, whether we look like other people or not, it's people will see that.
Yeah.
And see what our heart is. And I mean, I want to be around people that exude God and God's love, right? And it's just so encouraging. And So to me, I feel like then our outward appearance doesn't matter because it's who's in our heart.
Right.
Which
what
is
I
God.
Was brought to, you know, it's super good. What I was brought to even, you know, to remembrance when you were reading the scripture was how it talked about like jewelry. And I thought of the word shining, you know, mm-hmm. and I thought of the word shining and I'm like, okay, like some people, they'll put on jewelry, they'll, you know, they'll wear a watch, they'll wear, you know, clothes, and that's okay. You can do that, right? But it's like, what's the heart behind things that you do? Maybe it's not jewelry, maybe it's a different car, or maybe it's you want to live in a certain place, but maybe you're not at the place where you can afford that certain place yet. Yeah. But you do it so that you can please people.
That's right.
You know, and you're wanting to be noticed by people. I think what's cool about what you're saying is like, and I like the word you use, cultivating, because it really is like cultivating, you know, the soil of your heart and preparing the soil of your heart for what God wants to do. But I really believe that most of us, really all of us, were made to shine. And what I mean by shine is being noticed by God. And so I love how it brings it back to, there's all these different ways you can be noticed by people, you know, and be a people pleaser, or, you know, say the right thing at the right time, you know, like us leaders sometimes want to do, you know.
Have the right jokes.
Right, have the right jokes, like everything lined up, you know, because it just looks perfect, right? But I think what we have to understand is that we're being made perfect, and that we're being trained, and we're being made like Christ, that we're not Jesus himself, that we're being made perfect. Because if we go there, what happens is now God can begin to work on our character. And now we can truly understand there's power in being weak. There's power in our weaknesses, because that's where Christ is strong. So what's cool is, like, even how we're talking about these testimony moments, like what's great is in your weakness and in those times where you were in the storm or maybe you were drowning, Christ reached his hand down and he pulled you up like he did Peter. And he said, oh, you have little faith. I'm here. Boom. I'm here in this moment with you. And I think we've always had those moments where we were like Peter, where we didn't have the faith for the moment. Yeah. But what's cool is like God meets us there in that, you know, and there's encouragement for that. So let's always strive to be noticed by God, you know, and how you do that is you stay pure. You know, and your perception of God, that's your purity and how you see him. And you don't allow, like we're saying, these difficulties, these disasters, these things we're facing to determine how good he is.
Yeah, and you've done the work so that that's not a wound when it comes up as you're interacting with other super people. Good. It's a place where you're in a position of wholeness. You know, it's like if somebody breaks a bone, you know, and you touch it, it's going to hurt if it's not healed right, you know. But if it's healed, and you know, you can touch it all day. And so I think of that with your story, like it's not a wound for you. Mm-hmm. It's a place of strength for you that you've allowed God to heal that part of your life. And I think that would be my prayer for anyone watching this, whatever your situation is, that whatever that thing is, that when somebody presses and steps on it, it makes you uncomfortable, that that would become a place of strength for you where you can say, yep, you know what? Maybe it still is hurting a little bit, but I'm learning to trust God in this right now, and you can too.
Yes.
You don't have to be stuck where you are. That's and good. So I just want to, like, one more thought.
Yeah.
You know, just if we focus on what's different about us, that we miss what God wants to do through us. Mm. And when I was writing that down, I thought of the verse from Philippians chapter 4. Mm. Should have had this queued up, you know.
That's good, though.
I still go back to the old Gentiles eat pork chops to find Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. When I'm preaching in my head, it's always Gentiles eat pork chops. That's literally how, because I can never remember, is it Galatians versus Ephesians? And then I feel like I'm on stage looking around like, Gentiles eat pork chops. Gentiles eat pork chops.
I never knew that about you.
Always. That's
16 years, you've never shared that.
Yep, that's it. Gentiles eat pork chops. And I love Philippians 4:8-9 says, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things and the peace of God will be with you. And so the questions that I have for anyone watching this right now is, like, what are you focusing on today? And I just want to encourage you, if you're focusing on those things that you actually can't change about yourself, it's not going to get you anywhere good.
Right.
And then how can you take those insecurities and use them for the glory of God and for the good of others? Like Sam is just such a living example of that. And so I think you got one more little verse for us as we wrap up here.
Yes.
Exodus 4. Yes. You brought it up earlier when we were talking. It's just so powerful.
Oh, yeah. No, I love, you know, everything that we're doing here is, it should just really, you know, be a reminder to us that, you know, as we come to this table with our differences, that, you know, you come to the screen with yours, you know, this is really a moment when God can just begin to speak. And before I move forward, that's one of the best things about church and being in church is that as people have their hands raised, maybe they're just worshiping, they're in that time with God, that we can all come together in his presence. No, we're not perfect, but we can be perfect in him, you know, and understand that he loves us and he sees us as blameless. You know, he literally sees you as faultless if you are in his son, Jesus. And it's just one of the most amazing and joyful things. Like, you got to be joyful about that, you know? And so it's so cool to see. Yeah, let's go into Exodus. Let me see if it's in here. Okay. It's in that one there. Perfect.
I got you. Exodus.
Thanks, 4, bro.
10, 11.
Awesome. Exodus 4, 10, 11. Let's see. Perfect. Okay. So Exodus 4, 10, 11, you know, we hear about the story of Moses, and Moses was somebody that God called to help set the Israelites free. And the Israelites were God's people. So let's go into this. So it says in Exodus 4, 10, 11, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?'" And you know, as I see this scripture, one of the biggest things that I think we can all begin to remember is that God uses imperfect people. You know, I think as imperfect people, it can be natural to us, based off our own mind, our own thoughts, to see those imperfections and to identify more with those than we do with Christ. But I look at a scripture like that, and that's Old Testament, before Jesus came, and I love that we still serve the same God. I love that God's character hasn't changed and that God's faithful. And that's one of the many times that Moses spoke back to God when God was calling him to come and speak and do something that he felt he couldn't do. But what's cool about it is God still had mercy, grace, love, and patience for Moses. And patience is probably the biggest word, I would say, because of, no matter how many times you try and get out of what God is calling you to do, you know, his love is still there. And you can't run from it like Jonah. You can't divert from it and go a different direction, because he's going to meet you where you're at. He's going to chase after you. You heard that song, "The Reckless Love of God," yeah. You know, chases me down, you know, leaves the 99 for the one. I love that song. And it's such a real thing, because a lot of times we feel like the 99, we don't feel like the one. But God sees us as special. He sees us no matter what we're up against, whether it's something that we do to ourselves or whether it's something that we just believe about ourselves. He sees us with those beliefs. Maybe they're not the right beliefs, but he brings his truth. And he says, "This is what you can believe, my son. This is what you can believe, my daughter. And this is what you can do after you believe that." So what's beautiful to see here is that God didn't throw Moses away because he wanted to use him. And what that should say is that God not only wants to use you, but he wants to actually have relationship with you. The end all be all isn't God using you. The end all be all is having relationship with you.
That's right.
And so that's why he didn't quit on Moses. And that's why he's not going to quit on you. And that's why you shouldn't quit on yourself. You know, and just to continue into this, and then we can kind of wrap things up. But, you know, there was a time in my life when I just felt so rejected. And this was before I had come back to God, when I was 18. And, you know, I went off to LA, Hollywood, and just chased after the wrong things. And I was a church boy, so I grew up. I was like, I'm going to go all out now, you know. And what happened was I came to the end of myself, and I got tired of eating the bitter fruit of my life and the wrong choices in my life. And I came to a place where I was just done with me. And the bad part is that when you're in that place, rock bottom, you can either choose to be done with you and do away with you and come to a place of suicide, come to a place of depression and just say, just end it all. Or in that fork in the road, you can choose to come to a place, I'm done with me, I want you, Jesus. And I am so happy today that I'm with you guys and I'm here with you guys because I made the right decision.
Yeah.
But for a lot of us, we might be coming to that other decision of choosing, I'm done with me and that's it. And don't quit on God because he never quit on you. Christ went to the end of his breath so that you could have one. And this, that you could have one in this new life that he's promised you. And so in understanding that our breath is God's, our life is God's, our path is God's, our time is God's, what's cool is like, you don't have to worry about it. It all belongs to him, and he's working everything together for the good of those who love him. You just focus on loving God, seeking first the kingdom, and watch as everything else falls in place.
That's so good. And that's so cool that you shared that verse because it really... It, in a lot of ways, it does epitomize your story, you know? And it, like, it's when Moses said that he's slow of speech, you probably are one of the fastest of speech of anyone I've ever seen. There's a video. How many words did you say?
330.
330 yeah. words in 1 minute,
yeah,
right?
1 minute, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Tag a link to it in the bottom in Instagram yeah, we'll or something. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So thanks for letting God use you. Thanks for being a part of our story.
Of course.
And, awesome. And so we're just grateful that we had the opportunity to spend a few bit yeah. moments of time
yes,
together.
Definitely.
Lisa, you want to
Yeah, I just am so glad that we met almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And just I'm excited to see what God will do through this story, right. us sharing together,
mm-hmm.
And what God has for the future. Because I really believe that God doesn't give us obstacles just to make us sad or
right.
have a hard time. Like, God mm-hmm. really has a plan.
Right.
And Romans 8:18 says, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us.
Super good.
And mm-hmm. so, yes, we have present sufferings. We've talked about our alopecia, but yet God can use that for his glory because
right.
we're open to that. And mm-hmm. so I'm just so grateful for you to be able to share with us today. And thanks so much for sharing what you've learned on this journey.
Yeah, of course. Love you guys.
All right. So Sam Piku got his book, Beyond the Cover. Check it out. Thanks for being with us. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We always got more down the pipe for you. So hope to see you next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.